flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And good Saturday morning, and welcome to February, and happy National Serpent Day. Yeah, February 1st, designated as National Snake Day, and it gives snakes and all their serpentine relatives their due. You know, oh man, the serpent, the snake, has been used as a symbol of evil and medicine and a lot more over the years. There's over 3,000 species of snakes populate the earth, and I know a lot of people who wish there were none. World's smallest snake is the Barbados thread snake. It's like 4 inches long. And, of course, the longest snake is the reticulated python, and the one that weighs in the heaviest is the green anaconda. Well, somewhere in between those is my pet snake named Twin. He's a DK brown snake. He's kind of got a mixed personality. Sometimes he has good days and bad days, but he's got a very simple diet, earthworms. That's all the guy will eat. Well, what was the most memorable snake you ever saw? Do you have a snake? Are you a snake pet owner? Also today, we want to wish good luck to the participants in the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. They have that minimalist challenge. We've got a reporter on site. He's participating in it. Brendan Bayard will tell us what's going on. Got some pretty decent conditions given what we've had over the last few weeks. But how much impact will the fish kills have? There was some fish kills reported from Leeville. I saw some video from the Gulf Shore canals in Alabama. I'm hearing that it could be anywhere from extensive to significant, the kill totals. And they're having a little bit of a problem because they're finding them in different little spots, not one big mass of dead fish. So it's kind of hard to inventory what has happened along the Gulf Coast with that blast, that Arctic air we had in here. Well, this week, also, the Bayou Wild TV is kicking off its new series in February. In fact, we got the last one in January running this week. We'll preview that for you, what's coming up in February. And we're also going to talk to our Bayou Wild team, who is in Oklahoma at Lost Bucks Ranch. We'll find out what they're doing up there, what's going on for a future episode coming to a TV near you. And if you're a hunter, both Louisiana and Mississippi has extended its deer and small game seasons by a couple of days in some of those areas today and tomorrow. Are you taking advantage of it? Well, if you weren't planning on it, I'll run down the list for you, and it's not too late. You can grab your gun or your bow and get in some late-season hunting. A couple of extra days given because of the inclement weather and the access roads being shut down. Also have the story of 3 bad boys and 1 bad girl. They were scammers, and they were abusing Louisiana's policy of issuing free lifetime hunting and fishing licenses. We'll tell you their story. And if you've got a story for us, if you saw any fish kills, if you personally witnessed them, we'd like to hear about that. And if you had a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, and I had a couple of them, had a quail and a duck hunt with Ryan Lambert, we'll tell you about those. We'll include your report along with the comments and questions from other callers and the reports from our professional captains and marina operators. We do that by offering a text message that comes real time right here to the studio. That number, if you don't have it, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Coastal marine forecast, not looking too bad. In fact, we're going to be headed in for some spring-like weather next week. In fact, from here on out, a couple of chilly nights. But once we get past that, some 60s and 70s, maybe hitting 80 next week. Today offshore, got north winds 6 to 12 knots, only 1 foot offshore. Same forecast for tomorrow, but the winds will be east if you're going to be fishing interior lakes and bays. This morning is a north wind at 6 to 12 knots. Tomorrow it will be east 6 to 12. No big bumps out there. Tide range a little bit better than a half a foot. Mississippi River sitting at 4.6. So there it is. Stage is set. Get your gear and get ready to go. And before you do that, stick with us for a little while right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's take a little trip down to Campo Marina and talk to Robbie Campo. And Robbie, I guess first things first, now that we've got the little Gulf Coast Arctic blast behind us now, what's been the extent of reports of fish kills down in your area, St. Bernard, West Plaquemines, East Plaquemines area?
Well, you know, Don, a good friend of mine that works for Biloxi Marsh, for Will Rudolph, went rode. He went and rode all through the back of Brick Lagoon and, you know, the pipeline, and comes out by Pete's and behind Stump Lagoon. he counted about 150 fish, and that's total of, you know, trout, redfish, you know, whatever. I don't think that we got that big of a fish kill on the east side of the river. I know I talked to people down as far as Hackberry that has seen some, you know, some more significant than we got over here. I mean, you know, we didn't, I think we were spared. I really do. And I'm going to tell you why. Come Tuesday, this past Tuesday, I'm going to give you a little recap of this week here. This Tuesday, I had a boat go out in the sound out there, and they put 45 trout in the boat. They bounced around, you know, from the central area, you know, Holy Cross, and they went fish those rigs out there, and they caught 45. This was on Tuesday. I had another boat on Wednesday fish up within eyesight of Campo. It was right here by the Buff Cut. They put 30 in the boat. And seven reds. I had another boat fish Wednesday right out of Shell Beach here at the old fort, put 15 trout in a boat and put four reds in a boat. Also, I had another boat. I've never really done this kind of fishing before, Don, so I don't know anything about it, but they were trolling. I've seen it done, but I've never done it with the big motor, not with the troll motor. They were fishing with the big motor and had two poles out up by the wall, and they were fishing about, he said he thinks it was about 15, maybe 17 feet deep, and he put 15 in the boat, you know, dragging them behind the boat. So, I mean, these fish were eating on Tuesday and Wednesday. I had another boat go out to the Long Rocks out there to go fishing sheephead, and they caught a bunch of sheephead out there, so you know, we had a pretty good bite this week. The latter part of the week, as you know, the tide slowed down, and that kind of hampered the bite a little bit. But earlier in the week, Don, we seen a lot of fish caught. So I don't believe our fish kill on this side of the river is too bad. So I think we dodged a bullet.
Yeah, well, seeing that amount of fish may sound like a lot, but in the scheme of things, 150 fish is really nothing. I mean, that can be caught by several boats on one good day. But the reports that you got from your fishermen that went out seemed like things are pretty much normal for this time of year. So I think you're right. Now, some of the other areas west of the river probably didn't come out so good. I'm getting reports right now. Got regular listeners saying he found fish floating in the pen, the Wrigley's, Bayou Piro, Salvador, and all the canals around there. There's also been some scattered reports coming out of Leeville. I saw some fish killed there and some other areas. So, a lot of it depends on the hydrology. If the fish are in a position to get into deeper, warmer water quick as that temperature's dropping, they survive. And the ones that get stranded in ponds and get cut off in canals that eventually get real cold, they die. And that's just the way things are.
Well, Don, I think most of the ones that get trapped, like you said, in shallow ponds or dead-end pipelines, they're probably going to take the hit, But I think we did, having this Mr. Go here sometimes is a blessing than I know a lot of people, they dug this thing and, But, it probably did save a bunch of fish lives. So, you think about it, you got 40 feet of water, 35 feet of water, you can swim down to the bottom of and try to stay a little bit warmer. But, Don, we wrapped up a pretty decent duck season here. I've seen it a lot worse. It wasn't too bad. We just don't have a whole lot of people fishing at this time of the year. And I tell people all the time, I just throw this out there. If, this is a good time of the year, if you're not going to go fishing and, I know people's trying to bag that last buck and or the last deer. We got a couple of deer seasons that's still open. I think Louisiana closes Sunday, I believe. You got Mississippi still open, and you have Alabama to the 10th of February, I believe. So, after these seasons wrap up, I think we'll start to see some more people fishing. But if you're not in a fishing mode yet, this is a good time of the year to go get your bearings checked on your trailer, get your batteries checked, get your water pumps checked, thermostats, spark plugs, whatever you got to do to your boat, get it maintenance. If you didn't renew your CETO membership as of yet, do so, because it gives me a peace of mind to let you know that you're going to get back in here. I spent the night in the mosquitoes before. It's no fun. I promise you, this is things you want to do at this time of the year. And the boat shops are kind of like here. They don't have a whole lot going on, so you could get your boat there and get it back pretty quick. You don't want to be the guy in May doing this stuff, because a lot of people are going to wait, and they don't do it. They don't listen, and then you're waiting a month to get your boat back. So right now, you could probably get your boat back within a week, a week and a half. So, it just keeps the economic wheel rolling, Don, and it keeps people and get your stuff maintenanced. And don't forget about your trailers. Make sure your bearings on your trailers are checked, because you don't know how many people pull up to this marina and turn in and the wheel falls off. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this, I can't even tell you how many times I had to change bearings on trailers. But this is things that you could do. So while you're not in fishing mode and getting ready for fishing mode, because it's not that far away, Don. It's, the springs are right around the corner. It's going to be coming. So you get these things done, people, and you're going to be in good shape. And, Don, I get people that come and go, man, thank you for reminding me about that. You said it on the radio, and I didn't even think about it. And I got it done, and I had two bearings bad on a dual axle trailer. I said, it's just things you could do now that will keep you from doing it when the season gets here. So you take care of this stuff now. You ain't got to worry about it later.
All right. Great advice on all fronts, especially coming from somebody in your position at the marina where you see all the stuff getting dragged in and having problems. So very good advice. Hope people take it. And thanks for the report, Robbie. Very good. And we'll catch up with you next week.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next Saturday, buddy. All right. Bye-bye.
There goes Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina. All right, we come back. I'm going to run down some of those extended hunting seasons if you want to get some last shots in before it wraps up. Also preview what's coming up on Bayou Wild TV. And we'll talk a little bit about the groundhog. It's his day of honor tomorrow. What do you know about groundhogs? And what do you know about Alabama rigs, also known as umbrella fishing rigs? That's some of the stuff we'll be talking about next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio Network. Well, in case you did not get the word, the Department of Wildlife and Fishery for Louisiana has extended some of the hunting seasons due to that recent storm that we had. Quail, rabbit, squirrel, and nutria have all been extended a couple of days from the last day of this month till March the 2nd. So, got plenty of time and a couple extra days for the small game. Archery season has been extended in several areas, 1, 2, and 4. From the last day in January, which will close tomorrow. So you got today and tomorrow, a couple of extra days for archery season. Also, in February 15th, when it's scheduled to close in areas 5, 6, and 9, it's extended two more days to February the 17th. And the primitive firearm season is extended through tomorrow in areas 1, 4, 5, 6, and 9, and also some WMAs. Complete listing of the WMAs is on their website. Feral hog season is going to be extended from the last day in February till March 2nd on about five or six different WMAs, so you may want to check that. And if you're in that Tier 1 DMAP program in Area 1, 4, 5, and 6, and 9, there's also a two-day extension there from February 15th to the 17th, and is also extending the raccoon season on WMAs, certain WMAs, from February last day to close on March 2nd. So, still got time. Grab your gun or your bow. Tomorrow it's going to wrap up on some of these game species, particularly for the deer. All right, so also we got some good news for those of you who use the Bayou Pigeon boat launch. They're going to be getting some facelifting going on. They're going to expand and lengthen the boat launch and provide some better parking and trailering areas there. And boy, I tell you, that's really sorely needed. That place gets a lot of use, and last time I was there, it was in a need of a lot of repair, and that's thanks to the CPRA has gotten the Protection and Restoration Authority had a grant along with Iberville Parish, and they're going to be doing some improvements over on that boat launch. So many of our boat launches in South Louisiana really need some attention. All right, don't forget, too, I want to remind you, in fact, we're going to be talking to Derek Poor on this show next week. Derek is the director of the Troops and Tusks. I guess you'd call it a hog tournament where teams go out and bring in hogs. This is going to be taking place from February the 22nd and 23rd, Saturday and Sunday. The festival and the weigh-in all goes on at the Delcrum Shrimp Festival Grounds in Delcrum. They got plate lunches. There'll be a live auction. This is a fundraiser for veterans. It's called Troops and Tusks. Gates will be open at 8 a.m. Sunday. That's the main event day. Kent Sonier is going to be DJing, Swampland Revival performs, Prentice James on Saturday, and Bad Boys from 6 to 8. Not my Bad Boys. This is a musical group. Troops and Tusks. Check it out. You'll hear a lot more about it when we talk to Derek next week. So we got all that going on. Also, I want to preview for you Bayou Wild TV, February. Get Out and Fish will be next week. I went out to Zamurri Park and participated in the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries fish stockings, where they stock certain bodies of water and allow the public to catch them. I had a good day catching some nice channel cats. Then also Burbank Park had rainbow trout going on. We documented that. And Chef John Foltz fishes his famous catfish paella dish. Then on the 13th that week, it'll be a Cat Island getaway. The Tigers in the Wild, softball player for LSU, Matty McKee, and baseball pitcher Gavin Guidry went with us to Tarpon Tails Lodge for a little cast and blast duck hunt and fishing trip. You'll see another recipe, really a great one from John Foltz, crawfish and lobster risotto. And then on the 20th of February, we've got the Hog Hunt for the Hungry. We just recently did this. San Francisco Giant Hall of Famer Will Clark accompanied us there with the Troops and Tusks guys at Pecan Island for some nighttime thermal scope hog hunting. That was pretty interesting. And Chef Philippe Parola, our buddy who believes in if you can't beat him, eat him, he cooked some wild hog griots. Some really excellent stuff. And we'll close out February with the replay of Quick Draw Ian. If you didn't see it, we took Ian Scott and the Bayou Outdoors Foundation on a special deer hunt at the Island Hunting Club, and there'll also be a recipe for venison pizza with Jason Thornton. Where can you watch Bayou Wild TV? Anywhere and everywhere. If you go to our webpage, it's on Bayou Wild TV's YouTube. We have regular listings and channels all across the state. If you want to find those, you'll see those on our website, too. It's BayouWildTV.com. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to some of my cohorts with Bayou Wild TV, Chris LeCocq and Lance Burgess. They are in Oklahoma at Lost Bucks Ranch for another Tigers in the Wild episode, and we'll get to tell you, let them to tell you what's going on up there. All right, so get to your text messages when we come back from this quick break right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, catching up on our text messages into the studio at 504-260-1870. The match director's heading to Bugaloosa. They got a service rifle match going on. I was up in Bugaloosa earlier this week. I was Double D picking up some jalapeno cheddar cheese venison sausage. Yeah. I also got a good morning. Look who's listening. Chef Alex Patu. Good to have you listening to us. Alex, what you doing these days? Shoot me a text. All right, we got we talked about LT reporting dead fish. He's going to be one person putting less pressure on him for the several months. Well, that's very generous of you, Lafitte LT. Glad to hear it. We got our friend Wingbone over in Wilmer, Alabama. He's looking forward to the turkey season. He wrapped up his deer season. And by the way, you can meet Wingbone and see his very unique calls that he makes when we do a live broadcast at Scott's Marine in Alberta, Alabama. That is going to be Saturday morning, March the 8th. Put it on your calendar. I'm also going to have some special prizes, as does Scott's Marine, to give away to some of the listeners who come out and see us. We'll be broadcasting from 5 to 7 and hanging around probably till about lunchtime. So put that on your calendar. All right, we got fishing OTB at Point of Shen. Afterwards, the snow saw a lot of small croakers, small speckled trout, and some nice keeper specks floating upside down. Yeah, there's been scattered reports from a lot of areas. Toby's checking in with us. He's going to give one more shot to deer hunting in Mississippi. He wants to let everybody know, just before he got into Columbia, a buck was chasing a doe right across the road in front of his Silverado, which avoided the collision. He says there's a reason their season runs to the 15th. Yeah, they got a little bit of a later rut. All right, here's a report from Old Dog. Says Elmer's Island had some dead fish on the side of it, probably in the shallow canal, not too bad otherwise, but he did get some of the best oysters in a long time at Starfish Restaurant on Grand Isle. Yeah, well, I don't guess they get any fresher than that. All right, we'll get to some more of your text messages, but when we come back from this quick 10-second pause, I think we're going to try to answer the long-time eternal question. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck would chuck wood? We'll be back with that and more right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, tomorrow is Groundhog's Day, also known as the woodchuck. I've encountered them. I know when I went up on a trip with my buddy Rick in Pennsylvania, I saw some of those. I guess you'd call them ground squirrels on steroid. But has anyone ever eaten a woodchuck? How do they taste? I know we could do them some good down here with some Cajun seasoning, but I haven't talked to anyone that's ever eaten one. How does woodchuck taste? Well, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck would chuck wood? Well, here's the answer. A woodchuck would chuck all the wood he could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. How about that one? I got another one for you, and this one came from my granddaughter last weekend. It's kind of a takeoff on the woodchuck thing. It's how many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe would rob Lowe's? How about that one? Can you say that one? All right, have you had an encounter with a groundhog or a woodchuck? 504-260-1870. That is our text line. Comes right here to the studio. Also wanted to talk a little bit about Alabama fishing rigs, because this week's episode that you're going to watch of Bayou Wild TV, it's called Bassin' on the Bend. Captain Josh Sykes, Bent Rides Guide Service, we went up there, and he and Lance Burgos, Lance co-hosted the show, he went bass fishing up there, and they were using the Alabama rig. It's also known as an umbrella rig, and what it is, it's one bait, but it's got like four or five different wire leads coming off of it. and you can affix several baits. So the concept is you throw it out there, and as you jig it in or move it or troll it, whatever way you fish it, it gives the appearance of a school of fish, like a bait school of shad. And you can put spinner baits on it. You can put soft plastics. You can put jig heads. There's a lot of variations on it. What do you know about what's called the Alabama rig? And it got its name because supposedly the inventor or the founder was from Alabama, and that was where it was first used. And they up, but up in the East Coast, I think they fish offshore with them, and they call it an umbrella rig because it kind of looks like an umbrella if you turn it upside down, I guess. All right, getting back to some of our text messages, this one says, I haven't fished out of Empire in a long time, so I was wondering how difficult it is to empire the Empire Canal from the launch to the old jetties to get offshore to fish the oil rigs. You better bring your maps, standard mapping chip with you for that. It is, if you haven't been there in a while, it is much changed. Here's one says, let's see. You mentioned Cat Island. We hunted the silos for years, which borders Cat Island. Great hunting, deer, squirrel, turkey, even ducks. Great times. I had some really great hunts up there at the Silos Lodge on Cat Island, but that Cat Island is different than the one you're going to see on Bayou Wild. That Cat Island is on the banks of the Mississippi River. The Cat Island I'm talking about is the one off the coast of Gulfport, and we were with Tarpon Tails Lodge, and we were doing some actually offshore open water duck hunting with couple of LSU baseball players, Gavin Guidry, and a softball player, Matty McKay. So that's going to be coming up this month in February. All right, coming up right after this break, we're going to be joined by Chris LeCocq, the photographer editor for Bayou Wild, and Lance Burgess. They are up in Oklahoma at Lost Bucks Ranch. They'll tell you who they're with, why they're there, and what they're going to be doing this morning right after this three-minute pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we're having a little difficulty making the connection up at the Lost Bucks Ranch, and we'll see if we can get Chris LeCocq and Lance Burgess with Bayou Wild TV on just a little bit. Get back to some of your text messages. We were talking about cooking woodchucks, and the colonel from Hammond checked in. He says, first you make a roux. Well, yeah, I kind of start that with everything. Anybody ever eaten a woodchuck or a groundhog? Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. All right, we have found Lance Burgess with Bayou Wild TV and Tigers in the Wild. He's up at Lost Bucks Ranch in Oklahoma. Good morning, Lance. Good to have you with us, my friend.
Good morning, Don. Thanks for having us. We're really excited. And I guess before we start, you know my roots in outdoors are with the angling and the kayak community specifically. So I'll give a shout-out to all my buddies and friends down in Leeville getting ready to go compete today in the Minimalist.
Yeah, they should have some good condition given what we've been dealing with the past couple of weeks, and I know they're going to miss you. Well, tell us exactly where are you and what you're doing up there in Oklahoma.
Well, we are here filming an upcoming episode of Tigers in the Wild, and you know, really fortunate through our partnership with John Deere and Sunshine. One of the owners runs and operates a wonderful big game ranch here in Oklahoma, in Ridling, Oklahoma. And we're going to take some football players out today, and it's going to be one of those hunts with big game and big guns. You know, these guys are really excited. We've got Bo Bordelon with LSU. He's a lineman on the LSU team. Obviously, a lot of LSU fans might be familiar with the name, as his father played for LSU. Wes Weeks is joining us again. Wes was on our program last year when we did a hog hunt. And we also have Gabe Leonards. He's a tight end from Crowley. We got a couple of Louisiana boys here in Oklahoma to go out and, you know, get an experience. You know, the gentleman that owns this place, James Darby, he's one of the owners and with Sunshine Equipment, and his vision and dream to operate a big game ranch and give some folks an experience that they might not have on this continent is it's a really impressive place, and we're really excited to get out and get on the hunt today.
Lance, what type of exotics are they going to be looking for today?
Well, they got a mix of everything here. You know, he's got everything from Audad, which if you're not familiar with that, I think it's more of a Middle Eastern goat. You know, it's a kind of a mountain goat. So he's got some of those here. He's got the axis deer, fallow. He's got the Gemsbok, the Nilgau, and he also has some horned oryx and sable. So it's a wide variety of exotic big game that they have here at the Lost Bucks Ranch.
And Lance, does he also have whitetails there too?
He does. He does. He started his whitetail program a couple of years ago. Very interesting. And when you watch the episode, you'll learn some of the intricacies with, you know, the bloodline, what they're trying to do to, you know, breed the deer that they have here. But he does have whitetail running around. I don't think he's quite ready to release some of them, but he does. He has a program that he's in year two of four in that program to get his whitetail buck program up and running.
Did you get a chance to go out and look at the stands? What type of stands are they going to be hunting from?
Most of them are tower stands, box stands, really nice. You know, obviously, you know, they are set on different areas of the property. Yesterday, we were here. We got in late Thursday night. So yesterday, Chris LeCocq and I got to spend time with James, really learning about this area. The terrain is very unique. It's unique in this part of Oklahoma. In fact, the highest point in the county is on this property. So there's a lot of rocky terrain, a lot of natural terrain for the types of animals and the game that he has here. So it's a wide variety. He's got pasture land. He's got rocky hills. It's an impressive place.
So the LSU players you've got, Louisiana boys plus Wes Weeks, we know what he can do with a firearm. They're all experienced hunters pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. I know I follow these guys on Instagram, and, you know, sometimes that helps us with our selections because, you know, we love to give folks, especially student-athletes and the LSU young men and women that we work to introduce them to new things. But we also do appreciate some opportunities to, you know, take care of some Louisiana guys that are just grew up in the culture and understand what the heritage and tradition of the outdoors and Louisiana outdoors means.
What time are you guys getting ready to leave for the stands?
Shouldn't be for long. Shouldn't be long. I know Bo Bordelon's ready. He and I are up. Bo's checking his phone, and we're looking for the coffee here. But it shouldn't be long. I think Mr. James wants to kind of get everybody moving and out to the stands around 6:30.
Well, sorry I missed it. Sounds like a phenomenal trip coming up. And thanks, James Darby, if you would, for helping set this up for us to bring it to our audience. And before you leave and maybe include this in the feature, I want to know what the history is on the name Lost Bucks. Are there bucks that don't know where they are? Is it bucks that were lost because they weren't recovered? Or is it somebody losing a lot of money up there? What is the Lost Bucks meaning for the ranch? Or do you know it already?
Well, we know it. And when you watch this episode of Bayou Wild, you will hear a very wild tale about how this place got its name, about this place. We did take some time yesterday, Don, to sit down.
Well, we won't give it away until they see the show. I think we lost Lance. He's probably on his way out there. Have a good breakfast, y'all. Have a good trip. Be safe, my friends. And we'll catch the episode Bayou Wild TV, and we'll let the listeners know when it's going to air. That was Lance Burgess reporting from the Lost Bucks Ranch in Oklahoma. All right, we come back after this. We'll talk to Darrell Carpenter, find out what he's found out about any fish kills in the Grand Isle, Leeville, Dulac areas. We'll be back to talk to him right after this. All right, we have a field reporter checks in on the Grand Isle area for us each week. His name is Darrell Carpenter, Captain Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. And Darrell, I talked to you earlier in the week. Any more updates on fish kills in your area? It seems that there were some that were prevalent there. We really don't know the extent of them yet. How's it looking?
No, Don, and I'm going to tell you, you know, earlier in the week, and what you and I talked about was earlier in the week during these real, real low tides in between all that marsh area between Grand Isle and Fouchon, there were no large pockets of dead fish, but, you know, you couldn't go 50 yards without seeing a dead redfish floated up on the bank. Like I said, there was one area where it looks like maybe the wind blew a few of them together, and there was maybe 10 or 12 in one area, but no large numbers like some of the pictures we've seen from the west of us. Did have a talk with a wildlife and fisheries biologist, and you know, the term he used from coast to coast, from Mississippi to Texas, was pretty extensive. But, you know, he acknowledged at that point that, you know, not only had not all of them not floated, but because of the weather and the tides, that they were having trouble getting an accurate count on the number of fish. So the good news is, though, that, you know, I'm during the same little trip I had to make to my PVC supply, there were people fishing on side of the road with bent rods. So, I mean, there were fish to be caught. And, you know, on average, I've seen maybe one or two boats a day leaving the marina. So, you know, kind of like Robbie and Emma were reporting, there's not a whole lot of people on the water right now to give you any reports otherwise. But, you know, all we can do is we hope that those are straggler fish that got caught in shallow water. And, you know, we've got some deeper channels and deeper canals in there. And we're hoping that it wasn't. I think it's going to be localized little pockets. But I think the majority of it hopefully survived. I mean, and look, every dead fish I saw was redfish. I didn't see any trout in them. So don't know what we can play into that. But let's hope that our trout population did a lot better.
Well, you know, another way to look at this thing is that there were a lot of people who did not fish for several days because you just simply couldn't, and it was too inclement a weather. And had it been nice days when the fish were really biting and you had, you know, maybe 1,000 people out there hammering fish, what would the take have been there that we didn't take because of the weather? So that's another way to look at it, too.
Yeah, you know, and Don, and this week as it warmed up, you know, we talked about the forage species and stuff. This week as it warmed up, just doing some maintenance around the house, I saw mantis shrimp crawling around in the mud. I saw the mullets and the bait fish come back. You know, they got back to the surface, and mullets and all were jumping all over the flats. So, you know, time's going to tell, but with any luck, it's not nearly as bad as what it could have been.
Gotcha. We lost you there for a second. Daryl, as far as, you know, availability of bait down there, I mean, this is the time of year where it gets really tough. If you come in, you got to bring your own bait or use the artificials, I would think, huh?
Yeah, Don, I mean, everybody's got freezers. So, I mean, frozen shrimp, and this time of the year, you don't want to go without some dead shrimp because, I mean, sheephead's always your backup. You know, are they the glorified fish that they should be? No, but they're always your backup, and they're always going to put smiles on the kids' faces. So
Daryl,
frozen shrimp should be ready.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I said frozen shrimp should be readily available. You're going to have scattered pockets of live shrimp with them hitting the passes and the beach when it's calm enough for them to do so.
Mm-hmm. Daryl, Alabama rig, umbrella rig. Have you ever fished that in either your offshore or inshore ventures over the years?
I threw one time, and I do mean one time, and it was so daggum heavy, I'm like, cut it off.
Yeah, they don't work as well in shallow water as they do in deeper water, but understand offshore that people have been using them along the East Coast, not so much down here, but I don't see why it wouldn't be effective. Sure looks good under the water, that's for sure.
Well, you know, Don, this past year and in years past, during the summer, especially when those fish, when the trout are on the beach, I love fishing rattle traps. And I heard Robbie talking about somebody trolling them.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it was rattle traps they were trolling. You know, last year I got to do that once, maybe twice on the beach because there wasn't as many boats there, so I could do it. And the only problem was, at the time of the year it was, the ladyfish and all the other trash fish were so thick, we couldn't keep the lines trolling long enough because something was hitting them. It just wasn't the trout we were looking for. But I think that's a very underutilized method. I've done that before. I've done it on the wall at Chalmette, and oh God, I mean that is some of the most fun fishing you can do.
Yeah, you cover so much water, and I've done it. And Pontchartrain's a good place because it's a little deeper than most areas. It's cleaner, and you can drag it without the snags. But you cover so many miles by doing it like that. You're more likely to encounter the fish, and usually it's good sized fish that hit those rattle traps. Daryl, we got to go quickly. Your phone number and website. Somebody wants to get you.
RealScreamers.com or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend. Thanks for being our eyes and ears down there. We appreciate it. That's Daryl Carpenter.
Thank you, Don.
Real Screamers. All right, we come back. We're going to continue. I got some recipes for the old groundhog woodchuck that was sent in. And you got one. We'll also talk more about the Alabama rig and the minimalist challenge. Brendan Bayard is there, and I'll talk about a pintail problem Ryan Lambert and I had on Thursday. All that's still to come on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.